You will train. You will become my elite. You will become my huntsman.
If it's the Snow White tale you're looking for, discover the story that came before.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?
You are my queen, but your sister holds a baby that will grow to be more beautiful than you. But should any harm come to the child, your sister's power will be unleashed.
Dark magic. I'll rule the world.
That mirror is an evil and dangerous thing. We have to destroy it.
Together. This is what I trained you for.
I just smell lawsuit all over this film. Disney, oh my God, they about to get paid. Again, Universal, you need to get your checkbooks ready because, damn, that rat is coming for that ass right now. You done stole Frozen and somehow stole the main character Brave and stuck it in this film. Oh, that rat's coming for your ass now. I can see it now. We're talking about The Huntsman Wears War. It's the Snow White fairy tale, live action storytelling version of this. And this one's done by Universal, not Disney, the people that actually know what the fuck they're doing. And there's an exact reason why Disney should be the only ones to do this. And I've been saying this for the longest, is because Disney actually knows what the fuck they're doing. So allow them to remake their own goddamn movies, live action, or whatever the fuck they want to do. I don't give a damn if it's public domain. Let's be real. It belongs to Disney and that rat. And that rat's going to sue your ass line. Universal. But I digress. Plot synopsis. Oh, plot synopsis with good old spoilers. So you got a prequel, because this is a prequel / sequel. And the prequel is only about 5 minutes long. It pretty much gives you a backstory about Emily Blunt and Jessica Chastain. I'm getting these women mixed up, people. I'm sorry. Each one is like... they're like the opposite of each other. If you couldn't get one and you got the other, it'd be like, wow, thankfully. Emily Blunt plays Queen Freya. Charlize Theron returns to Ravenna. And this is the past before the first film. We find out that Emily Blunt's character was having a child with, I guess, a prince from another kingdom. She was having an affair, even though he was supposed to be wed to another woman. He was like, I'm not really feeling that. Charlize Theron, being the jealous, conceited bitch that she is, she goes to the mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror, who's the fairest of them all?" The mirror pretty much, the trailer pretty much tells you. I watched the trailer because I don't think I really glanced at the trailer. I watched the trailer before watching this movie. And I was like, wow, this trailer spoils the fuck out this movie. But she has the mirror, and the mirror tells her, "Hey, girl, look at you. Look at you. You're the fairest of them all, of course. Now, your sister about to have some child, though, and it's a daughter, and she going to put your ass to shame, because this daughter is going to be born, and this daughter is going to be beautiful, and she's going to be the fairest of them all, but if you get rid of that bitch, you'll release your sister's true power." Charlize Theron like, yeah, that bitch got... but pretty much, the queen that Charlize Theron plays is just some petty bitch. That's all she is. She just jealous of other women and shit. And so you later find in the movie, but I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you now, she uses her magic to trick some dude. I'm assuming that's the dude that she was supposed to be fucking or something like that. It made it seem like it was supposed to be Snow White's father or something like that. And she possessed him to not just kill this baby, but burn this baby to death, which I just found to be odd. I was just like, damn, you couldn't stab the baby, you had to burn the baby. So, you know, when Queen Freya, she goes outside and she sees the baby's part of the castle on fire and shit, she races over there and she opens the door, And all you see is the room's been black torched and the crib has just been, it's fallen in ashes and shit like that. And you see the one dude standing there with the torches in like, I didn't mean to do this, whatever. And then she unleashes her powers and freezes his ass to death till he crumbles into pieces. And, you know, she's pretty much miserable at this point. So she decides to take some of her men with her and go live on the north side of this land to go rule that kingdom by herself. But then she gets the hunch of, you know what? Nah, I don't want to isolate myself. Fuck that. I want to rule every goddamn kingdom there is. And I'm going to rule it all. I'm going to rule it. And the way I'm going to rule it too is I'm going to murder every parent in kingdoms and snatch their children up and train them to be my huntsmen. Yeah, that's what I do. There's so much petty shit wrong with that, but well, I digress. So Jessica Chastain in there, and the lovely Chris Hemsworth, he's in there as well. And they become kind of like the best students out of the children. And, you know, they grow up, obviously, and they fall in love with each other to the point where Jessica Chastain pretty much proposed to him in this hot tub scene. I don't know how the fuck they got alone in this hot tub scene, but whatever, I digress. And Charlize Theron says, oh, not Charlize Theron, Emily Blunt, getting them two mixed up again. Emily Blunt's like, okay. Because her rule around here is there will be no love and no one will love each other. You won't even love me. I don't want you to love me. I am just here to train you and mold you into my own warriors and stuff. So once she find out that, you know, they've been secretly, I guess, making out and in love and stuff like that, she's like, oh, no, that's treason. You wanna live together? Fine. Fight your way out of here. She sticks her arm in. Those two beat the shit out of them, but then she pulls up some ice wall and makes them see what she wants them to see. So on Chris, for the first part of the movie, you only see Chris Hemsworth side of it, and he sees that Jessica Chastain was killed. Now, later in the film, when they meet back up and everybody's wondering how the hell is Jessica Chastain alive, she says that he ran out on her, and then they show her side of the wall that Chris Hemsworth just ran away. So they kept Jessica Chastain there and trained her. It's like, oh, that's what people you love do. They just run away from you and stuff like that. So they pretty much brainwashed her into becoming some elite queen soldier, if you will, and shit for the queen here. Next, you know it, on the other side of the world, you know, Snow White, the bad stunt double they got in here, who's just sitting on the floor as they show a little quick scene of her as we fast forward to present day time. Now, this is after the Snow White film, if you will. They pretty much send Chris Hemsworth on a mission. He plays the huntsman in South Eric in here, by the way. He says on a mission with two dwarfs, one by Simon Pegg and not Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. And I forgot who the other dwarf was played by. I don't remember who that one was played by. Whatever, it's not fucking important. And, I think it was Rob Brydon. Yeah, there you go, Rob Brydon. And they go on a mission to find the mirror. They pretty much say Snow White's sick. She's handling some stuff. She wants you to go take care of it because you're a good tracker. They come closer to finding this mirror, only to see that, I guess none of this shit made sense, really, to be honest. Now that I think about it, yeah, what was the point of all that? The golden arrow, the diamond and shit like that? Whatever. We later find out the mirror is kind of just, like, talking shit. It's telling people to murder each other and stuff like that. I mean, the mirror is talking now. I mean, it's doing some crazy shit without even reacting to it. So, Chris Hemsworth and Jessica Chastain ends up saving Chris Hemsworth from this fight with all these other huntsmen and stuff. And then she kind of tells him a backstory, how she abandoned her and stuff. And it's pretty much that whole, oh, you don't know what I've done, and I know you left me and stuff like that. And it was just like, okay, that shit was getting kind of old, I'm not going to lie. And then they find the mirror, only to be thinking that it's a double cross where Jessica Chastain double crossed them as she was still working for the queen. Emily Blunt, she then asked the mirror, hey, who's the fairest of them all? Charlize Theron comes out of it. And by the way, people, she's only in this movie for the last act. So if you're going in here thinking like, oh, she was the best part of the last movie. Yeah, she's only in here for the last part. And that's like 20 minutes. Actually, I'm being probably generous here. And she comes out and says, What you so shocked about, girl? You fucking asked the mayor. I gave you an answer. Now, I found this shit to be weird. Cause I was like, okay, I don't remember the first one, but I was like, I could have sworn she died. But then she gets some backstory about, I left my body and bonded with the mirror. I was like, that makes no fucking sense whatsoever. I was like, so I guess we just making up shit as we go along. So you like, damn, Disney, you need to get your goddamn law, your lawyers together right now. Because I'm about to say, this is like some Aladdin shit right here. So you mean tell me that mirror is like a lamp. And you are now the mirror. You pretty much are the mirror now. And because there's a scene where Emily Blunt's saying, no, you have to answer me because I called you out because I freed you from the mirror and stuff like that. So, you know, so she's like granting wishes and shit now. Or whatever. So, damn, they stole some Aladdin shit up in here, too. I didn't even fucking think about that. Then next thing you know it, then, you know, Jessica Chastain, because remember, no, oh, she's not on their side. She kept me alive for a reason and stuff like that. So they try to fight these queens, and it's just a big-ass brawl, and that's the plot synopsis here. Let me go ahead and get into the prequel side of things. I actually was intrigued with the movie, the prequel side at least. And that was, like I said, it's only 5 minutes, so there ain't really much to go in there. I was like, this is kind of cool. I'm enjoying this, the whole training of the huntsman thing. I mean, granted, I will say that, you know, Emily Blunt going on banishing herself to this other part of the land here and just kidnapping kids and murdering their parents, which made no goddamn sense. It was like, so you're going to do what happened to you to everyone else. Okay, that makes no fucking sense. All right, whatever. You're supposed to be the good one here. Okay. Yeah, you making Charlize Theron look very decent right now. And but I enjoyed it. I was like, this is intriguing. It has me intrigued here. And then they kept talking about the love stuff, and I was just like, how many times are we going to bring this up now? No love is forbidden here, whatever. You would have thought that that Emily Blunt would have been embracing the love from the kids she took, whatever, be like, treat me as your mother or something like that. But no, she doesn't do that, because it would have made more sense had it done that. Now, another thing after that, it just gets boring. I mean, and then actually, not only did it become boring, but it becomes kind of a fucking mess of a film. I mean, it's all over the place. It does not know what it wants to be, because it is 100 other goddamn movies, better movies too at that, except for, I was gonna say the last film, but because I hated that goddamn film. But I guess this one, I don't. This is a hard one. There's spots in here that I actually did like more than the first. I actually hated that first one, but there's stuff in here that I actually did. The cast in here, they're somewhat charming, even though they're giving some terrible fucking dialogue. And for God knows why, they have these Scottish accents. And I can't help but think of Brave every time Jessica Chastain. She has the hairstyle. Well, not the hairstyle, but she's got the two braids in the front of her head. She's a bow and arrow. And her outfit consists of some green in there as well. And it just kept throwing me off thinking of Brave the whole time. Especially Jessica Chastain, that accent kept going in and out. I was like, damn, girl, either you're going to keep the accent or not. What are you going to do? It was like, what are you going to do? Either you take the cap off or you're not. What are you going to do? Chris Hemsworth. His accent was going from Scottish to Australian, to the point where I ain't gonna lie, I just kind of said, fuck it, gave up with it. His character, I don't think they wrote shit for him. I think personally they just told him to ad-lib, which he's boring at first because, you know, he's just playing generic character. But then like halfway through the movie, I want to say when they met these female doors, which I think was played by Sheridan Smith, who played Mrs. Browning, he started charming up because he's smiling every now and then, and then he started saying some lines. I was just like, oh, he's quick-witted and stuff like that. But it felt like no one wrote that for him. It felt like he just said, fuck it, I'm just going to not read this script. And so it made me somewhat like him. And him and Jessica Chastain had chemistry together. I think just the writing itself that they were given was just fucking boring, because I really hate that stuff where, oh, we used to be lovers in the past, but now one of the lovers is like, oh, but you did this, so I'm going to hate you for the rest of the movie. It's like, girl, you know you dropping them draws to Hemsworth. Come on. Now, Jessica, you fine as fuck. Don't get me wrong, but that's Hemsworth. Come on. Come on now, girl. I mean, I would fuck him before I fuck you. And that's not, I mean, look at him, man. When he brings that hammer down or that axe in this film, you know, you just can't help but go, ooh, damn. The shiver just went up my asshole. But, another problem with this film, though, is it takes so many sources from, you know, family-friendly properties and stuff like that, that this movie is kind of dark as shit. The tone is really dark as hell. I mean, like I said, the opening of this baby is burned to fucking death. You see the crisp of the crib and shit like that. And I was just like, who are they making this film for? I feel like they're making this for the women again, like they did with the first film. But Charlize Theron isn't in the film. So it's like, and the costumes, oh my God. Well, we want to talk about Frozen, because that's one of the main ones we rip on. Instead of singing Let It Go, she need to be singing Lawsuit, Lawsuit, they're going to come sue our ass. Because Emily Blunt's character is straight up wearing the outfit that Elsa wore in goddamn Frozen. I'm talking like straight up the same goddamn outfit. And I ain't talking about the outfit Elsa was wearing at the beginning of the film. I'm talking about that one where Elsa, for a cartoon character, uses like when she let that hair down, he was like, okay, I want to fuck that now. I'm talking about when she went to this land of her own and made this castle and put this blue dress on. Emily Blunt had the same goddamn costume. I was staring at that and was just like, wow, y'all just blatantly ripping off films now, huh? Because it's got a little bit of Lord of Rings in there. It's got a little bit of some of every goddamn thing in there. I mean, you've seen it here, you've seen it there. The dwarfs, all of them, all four of them. There's four of them there, two women, two men. I already named off three, actually. I don't remember who played, Dorina, who played Alexandra Roach, I believe. That's a terrible last name, by the way, miss. They all were entertaining. The problem with them is they serve no fucking purpose in this goddamn movie whatsoever. You're trying to figure out why are they here again? And wasn't it seven of you? I guess that budget must have limited down here. That's amazing what happens when the main actress who's being Snow White fucks the director, because they got rid of both of their asses. And you got a first-time director in here who usually does visual works and stuff like that. And he did a great job visually. I give him that. And I'm talking about Cedric Nicholas Trojan. And he's, like I said, he's worked on the Pirates of Caribbean films, and I believe he did Maleficent as well, too. So he knows how to work with the visual aspects and CG and stuff like that. When it comes to storytelling and direction, it's not actually, it ain't good for you at all. You don't have no strong suit in that, because this movie is a fucking mess. It's kind of all over the place. But I didn't hate the film, though. The middle half, I did get bored, but once the female elves come in, dwarves come in, I found it at least charming for the actors, because, you know, you got Jessica Chastain and Chris Hemsworth working together, and you got the Doris being the comedic relief, which this movie desperately needed. But you got their chemistry is really good. And, you know, even though their accents have fallen in and out, I know them to be good actors and actresses, so I was like, well, they're charming in the most bit. But then it gets to the third act where, I ain't gonna lie, it became even more of a bigger mess. The plot even became kind of convoluted in a way, to the point where, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of like, I really don't give a fuck no more. And I remember Charlize Theron, she came out with this badass dress on. I mean, she was looking like, hi bitches, I'm here, or whatever. And then all you hear in the theater of critics, whatever, and especially the ones that had their wives, was ding. As the penises were hitting their zipper and shit like that, everybody got a boner in there, because you seeing Jessica Chastain and Emily Blunt working together, he's like, oh my god, they playing sisters in here. How hot would that be? But so Jessica Chastain, oh no, Jessica, I get the fucking names mixed up again. Charlize Theron, she pretty much tell him bluntly, look, I helped you, I released all your power, girl, I killed your fucking baby, so the fuck what, shit. And she is hamming it the fuck up in this scene. It's almost as if, I got some damn good laughs out of this. I don't even think it was intentionally vulgar. I think I almost fucking did it again. Charlize Theron, she did it this one intentionally, because she was funny as hell in this scene. And I don't even think it was meant to be funny. I mean, there's just little tidbits in this scene where she's like, because Jessica Chastain and Chris Hemsworth, they get captured. And then I love it, because Charlize Theron, she should be, they need to get her for that Warner Brothers Jungle Book film. She should be Kai, the goddamn snake and shit, because she's just slithering around Emily Blunt just like, isn't this your kingdom? And aren't they breaking the rules around here? Aren't they? She's smiling, she's getting excited. She's like, so what would you do with them, sister? What would you do? I know what I would do, but what would you do? And I was just like, oh my God. She is chewing the scenery. Emily Blunt, she's just like, I have to sentence them to death. And then I kid you fucking not, people, Charlize Theron, she went and just slithered away. I was like, what the fuck? It was just funny as hell because it almost like she got, yeah, okay, you know when a dude sniff, like a weird dude sniff, like myself would sniff a girl's hair and go, oh, shit, girl, you smell like goddamn, I was about to say angel dust, what the fuck, flowers and goddamn honey. And because since she's behind Emily Blunt, when she did that, it was just like, oh, the smell of death makes me wet inside. And I was just like, yeah, I can see because you're dripping black tar all over the place, whatever and shit. I ain't going to lie. I wanted to lick that tar. I was like, I wonder if that's her goddamn pussy. I mean, I'm sorry. It's a kid's film. What am I talking about here? But but no, she was funny as hell. I don't think she was intentionally supposed to be funny. I think she's supposed to be menacing, but she knew what kind of film she was in because everybody else in this film, with the exception of Chris Hemsworth, is taking this a little bit too serious. I mean, Jessica Chastain and Emily Blunt. Now, granted, maybe it's just the characters, but in a way, they were kind of just wasted. I don't think they were terrible. Jessica Chastain was definitely worse than the three of them, but not just because her accent was dropping out, but I thought she carried herself well, and I was just like, wow, I want to see her in more action films, to be honest. And not to mention, that little bit of green she had on moving around the way she did, I'm talking some Poison Ivy in her run or whatever, you know, make Poison Ivy a badass where she running around and stuff like that, you know, doing flips and shit over Batman, you know. Emily Blunt, she's just there. She ain't terrible. What the fuck was that? She ain't terrible, but she's okay. I mean, she's decent enough to do her job in this film. Oh, and then the movie, you know, obviously it ends with Emily Blunt gets killed by her sister and shit, but Emily Blunt in her last breath, I guess she freezes the mirror, and then Chris Hemsworth throws that axe right at the mirror, and it shatters, killing Charlize Theron. Kids all happy, everybody can go home and shit like that, but then the movie ends with a little golden bird flying away, and we're like, third film, and it's like, oh, man, how many fucking films can we do with this bitch? Come on now. We can only kill her so many goddamn times. There was another problem I had with this fucking film too, and I it took me a while to realize what was going on until I saw it like three times happen. Charlize Theron, you see in the trailer, she's impaling motherfuckers left and right with these black, I call it her gum juices, after she came after the hair of Sound of Death and shit like that, where she's just stabbing people constantly, and you see people dying. She stabs the main characters like Chris Hemsworth and them. She's impaled him to the point where she's lifted him off the ground. Not a goddamn blood wound on him or flesh wound or none of that shit. I was just like, what the fuck? Okay, now the inconsistencies of this shit. Because at first I was like, oh man, he's fast. He's dodging that. And I was like, nah, he actually got caught right. And so, what the fuck is going on here? So, yeah, that was another problem with the film as well. I mean, I kind of just want to get us a fuck it just on some merits alone of them actually thinking that they're going to make a third one. Because I can tell you this right now, I think this film's going to bomb. I don't know how much it cost, but I only see it bringing in $15, $20 million this weekend. I would love to know what the audience thinks, because you know, people I saw it with, as far as critics and stuff like that, kind of shit. But I don't know. I took my friend. She wanted to see this just based alone on the costumes alone. She was like, I love the costume designs in the first one. The costume designs in here are unique. I give them that. The visuals in here are really good. I thought the action was shot shit. It's got that close-up cam going on and stuff like that. And you don't really... And everything is so fast edited, because editing is fucking terrible in this film. But I'm not gonna lie, I did get somewhat of an enjoyment. I laughed my ass off of Charlize Theron at the end of the film. I want to give it a fucking on some merits just based off of that goddamn ending, talking about we're gonna make a third one. But I gotta give some credit where it's credit due. I found the prequel part just a little bit intriguing. And I was like, because I'm not gonna lie, I really wasn't looking forward to watching this movie, especially after hearing all the bad stuff about it. But, the opening part got me intrigued and then got boring. And then a little bit of humor came involved, even though none of the shit that was happening was happening. I was like, oh, this lightens it up. And then the third act kicked in when I was like, okay, we need to do something. Charlize Theron came in and started making me laugh. Just some of the Ka Jungle Book shit she was doing had me just rolling. I'm going to give this the lowest a very lowest of lowest, just a hairline above a fuck it. Matter of fact, a hairline below a high fuck it. Yeah, there you go. So maybe I should just give it a high fuck it then. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it a high fuck it. There you go. It's people are like, wait a minute, what? Yeah, you know, nah, fuck it. I'm going to give it a low stream it. Charlize Theron, I enjoyed her. I laughed my ass off. The dwarves in here, they added some much-needed humor. And there's some chemistry between Jessica Chastain and Kristen. I wanted to see them work really well together in here, but that didn't happen because they had such a bad fucking script. But I would love to see them work together more in a movie that's not this film here. Nah, fuck it. I'm giving it a high fucking. Never mind. What the hell am I thinking? What the hell am I thinking? Giving this a low strength? Yeah, I gotta give it that just based on merits. I don't want to fucking see this third film. But then I say that, but then I can tell you this right now, just like the first film, I'm not gonna remember it by the time that one comes out. High fuck it just for some of the positive things I had to say, which really are just kind of scattered fucked all over the place. Universal, man, you better get that Fast and Furious money ready, because that rat about to take all that shit. You think you got them cars now? That rat is about to take them cars and make a Cars 3 out of that shit. Better stack your paper and get them lawyers ready, Universal. That rat coming for that ass now.
So, have you got a plan?
Aye.
Is that any good?
No.
The game's not finished. I'm stronger than all of you, little sister. Shall we find out? Kneel before me, and then I'll tear your heart out. Ready, huntsman?
Aye.